Welcome to the With the Will podcast. We're here to entertain and inform a bit while talking about Digimon. I'm Mark, I run With the Will and produce Digimon on Blu-ray.
I'm Dev Hugh, and I am going through it.
Dev, I'm tired.
So tired. So tired, my dudes.
How tired are you, Dev?
I did like an 11-hour shift yesterday, and Ben did another one today. Well, not quite 11 hours, but I'm tired.
That's not fun. Well, outside of that, how has the week treated you, Dev?
I'm sleepy, and I want all of the Tamers Kenji Watanabe merchandise. So money.
So, we have more than we expected to talk about, so let's go ahead and start with Beat Break.
You mean Ghost Game?
Yeah, this one's weird because, like, we've joked in the past episodes feeling like Ghost Game. This one not only feels like Ghost Game, this was an episode of Ghost Game. Like, this was like episode 25 of Ghost Game, where, like, not, like, beat for beat the same plot, but, like, it was girls go to... What was it?
Really close!
It was like a perfume company or something, wasn't it? It wasn't an actor. It was something like clothing or perfume.
It was still like a celebrity.
Yeah. So
they were just like influencers.
So we get a girl running through
vampiric influencers. That's
running in Mirror World towards a portal. I'm not sure what I at this point if I like the Mirror World anymore or not. It feels more like it's being used as a crutch. So I don't know. And then I will say, I do like seeing the weird little cartoony bats, like, that they have never updated those. Because it feels like that's something they would have...
Oh, I love them. I would love plushies of these.
Doesn't it feel like over time they would have updated them to more realistic, creepier bats at some point? And they're still, like, the goofy plushies? And then we get the big vampire...
They're adorable, and they are perfect as they are.
Big vampire cape, and Myotismon / Vamdemon takes a bite. And then Glowing Dawn's waiting at the bar to see if Maki wants any work.
No.
And God bless, I will say, this is one of the things I'm actually kind of over. The amount of time they spend to go, we want to do X, and also Kyo isn't here.
It's like, Kyo's at Narinso. Surprise.
It reminds me.
He had to let you know.
It reminds me of Dino Thunder, when they had to do their best to write Jason David Frank out of episodes when he wasn't in New Zealand. So it's like, oh, he's invisible. Oh, he's frozen in carbonite. And those both happened for multiple episode arcs.
He tripped on a banana peel.
Yeah. And an unknown Digimon is cold-hearting people. Involves the new star, Ryuki, who played a vampire in a movie. And then does Makoto's character development the last half dozen episodes has literally just been he likes tokusatsu and he likes horror movies. And the funny thing is, him liking horror movies, as far as I can tell, it only exists for something later, which is wrong. So people are vanishing, meeting this actor to meet and greet. The cops looked for foul play. They found someone cold-hearted. The ministry's taking over. But it will be a nice, big credit. Maki wants them prepared properly. Rain and Prissymon are forced to dress up. I'm not sure which is more annoyed at this, but it's funny that they play up the tomboy aspect of both of them throughout the show. Minus, like, a minute of complaining about the dress, we get no actual character for Raina in this episode. It's really strange.
She seems more annoyed that Maki is just seemingly playing dress up with her.
Yeah, it's weird because, like,
she is actually, wearing the dress.
Like, when we saw the preview, I think we both had the same thought, oh, it's a Rain episode. And while it is a Rain episode, she doesn't really get it. I need development from Rain at this point. Like, we are about to hit episode 30. Outside of, like, two mentions of her being abandoned when she was young, does she have any development?
No, nothing whatsoever. She's just, she's there. She's the big sister.
Yeah. And then Raina tumbles on her heels. And then Rose walks by and picks up Prissymon, hands her back. I don't know why I actually found it funny, her saying it doesn't match the dress. And this is where I feel like AR and a lot of people got really upset. And I didn't think about it at the time, but they're right. all the five stars are supposed to be rather famous, and people, like, they're instantly recognize Rose. Reyna has no idea who this is, and they've been battling five stars. At some point, would they not have been clued into, like, who these people are? Especially if they're seemingly all famous.
Or Kyo might have mentioned it.
Yeah, it's... This is where Beat Break is kind of tripping. It trips in the development stuff where it's not even wild development it should be doing. It's tripping on weird basic things. But also, here's actor guy holding a rose. He gets the shining teeth. And here's the thing. I know
but
it's...
This isn't suspicious
here's the thing.
At all.
Here's the thing. I know it's scripting. I know it's making him annoying. That he says fabulous too much for me. Just too much. Girls line up to give him presents. And Reyna really does not want to
really
be there.
He's really fucking annoying.
The best part of Reyna in this episode is the facial expressions.
Yeah, they are absolutely a mood.
Yeah. And a girl falls over the railing and Reyna catches him. That catches his attention. He decides Reyna is worthy of spending time with him. And he changes his mind after seeing something about her. I'll be honest, when watching this, I didn't realize what it was. Is it the silver?
I assumed it was like, oh, Pristimon is right there. He realized, oh, that's,
see, now
that's
I'm
fucking
see,
Digimon
now
right
I'm,
there.
Now I'm wondering if it's the silver. Because she was supposed to, like, I didn't notice it until, like, they fired it. She's supposed to be wearing, like, a silver brooch or something, right?
Yes, but
was it that
explained
what,
near
but,
the end of the episode.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is did they clue us into what he was bothered by, or did we just both miss it somehow?
It just felt like he was just randomly repulsed, like, got a closer look. I was like, oh, ew. Yeah,
okay.
I'm not going to peer. Just take this fucking thing.
Okay. And then...
It's not like they zoomed in on it or...
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm wondering if we just missed it or if it was really like kind of who knows. And everyone's knocked out, Rose included, except Reyna, but her earpiece got knocked out. And then I catch. And Reyna also fell asleep. She wakes up to find
it's
Rose and the others in Mirror World. Rose, I will say, I kind of liked Rose's scripting where she's kind of like, oh, look at this place that I definitely don't know. And Pristimon also is not there.
Like, this is so mysterious.
Digital graveyard, cold-hearted girls, marks on the neck. It's funny. It goes so stereotypical vampire that if they had not done this in Ghost Game, I feel like we would both be kind of enthralled with it. But because this is such a... It's such an overt...
Also, they already did this.
It's such an overt retread of the last show and an important episode, because it was the first Kenno Weissman. It was the first episode with him, wasn't it?
Yes, because I think he was falling and...
And we were also upset then because we thought they were going to do something important with Dracumon, and they just ate him. And then... We find out that his minions here are Sangalupmon, who he expects ate Pristimon. And this is where we again have to stop to go, wasn't Sangalupmon his, like, guys in Ghost Game?
Yeah.
And time for game attack. He put a portal somewhere in the Mirror World. If they can get to it and escape, they win. If he catches them, they get cold-hearted. Reyna grabs Rose so they can run as the other girls go in a different direction, but they catch up to them. They argue the batch-up. Reyna does the very movie thing of ripping the dress so she can move better and losing the heels. And Rose also pops up with martial arts, which actually was a moment I liked, to be honest. Even if it all... I can't decide if I was expecting it or if it was just so good that I don't care if I was expecting it or not.
I was not expecting it. I assumed that she just kind of like stand there and observe, but then she just kind of like casually kicked the side of bat like it was no one's business.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's fine.
It was good. Rose comments she likes Reyna. Vandamon floats. We get Pristimon running away some more. Vandamon being disappointed that Reyna's already tired and he grabs her is... It would be amusing if it... It feels like they couldn't decide if they wanted this stuff to be amusing or faux horror, which was a bit odd to me. And then Rose...
They could have done better.
Rose is about to do something as Pristimon jumps in and smacks Vandamon, which was a great moment, honestly. And then we quickly get the Sapotama, Wolvermon. Vandamon comments he has to be surprised to be beaten by a Digimon at that level. And this is where we pause to
which is what you expect. Are we going to get an evolution?
Yeah, it's weird to say that. Like, here's the thing. This is episode 29, and we technically have two of the team being at perfect. Making a statement like that at this point is a wink, wink to evolving, and they don't, which I'm not bothered they didn't, minus that it doesn't feel like the show is concerned about its pacing, and its pacing has gotten more and more bad.
It's like they only have so many episodes left.
About 20. Rose leaves with the other girls when she realizes Reyna has a plan, and Reyna offers up her e-pulse, the others can leave. I will say I like Vandemon being aware of it being an obvious trap, and then she throws his comment about a human not beating a Digimon back in his face. And then Reyna comments about the weakness of vampires. Wolvermon shoots a silver button from Reyna's outfit. I honestly, up to this point, had not noticed that button brooch thing at all. Like, I'm sure it was on the outfit, but it never stood out in a way that it felt like I was aware of it. Then the song...
Neat, it's a lion.
Then the song Loopmon show up and get blasted by Lilamon, with Rose revealing it's her Digimon. And then... this is the other thing that's happened too much lately. The episode's about to end, and then everyone from Glowing Dawn just shows up. Like, almost in, like, the old style, like, Fred Flintstone's gonna get away with his scam of the week, and then Wilma shows up. And also, Kyo's there,
that is a good way to put it.
Yeah, and Kyo's also there to recognize Rose and introduce them to a 5-star. Lilamon opens the portal and they leave.
It's like, oh, it's you.
And then here's where we get the issue that I was willing to go with. Multiple people got upset by this, which is why I bring it up. Makoto's impressed Reyna won with the silver trick, but then he notes silver bullets aren't a vampire weakness. They're for werewolves in movies. And he also points out that eventually movies did start using that and got mixed up. Most people point out that that actually like predates movies, like vampires with silver. And if Makoto's as much of a horror fan as he says he is...
like any pure...
But what I mean is he says that that's something like they started mixing up the weaknesses as, like, movies went on. Silver, I'm pretty sure multiple people have pointed out that that was... And him being 10's not an excuse, because he's pointed out that, like, that's one of his things. They pointed that out early in the episode. And then...
I think it would have been better for him to comment. It's like, well, if you put a bullet through anything's heart, I mean, it's probably going to die.
But that's also where, like, they brush past it and going, maybe if it what? They go, it's silver's not a weakness, but maybe it worked because you believed it, because we only have 30 seconds left in the episode. They need to move on. And then Wolvermon comments about all the stuff being ruined and that she, in fact, borrowed them from Maki and they're probably expensive. And then here's where I get confused. They jump to Rose with her underlings and how Vandemon wasn't involved with gifts, but she was happy to meet Reyna. Am I wrong, or do the other two girls not talk in this episode, despite that, like, we got a bunch of press about them?
No.
And they're I kept, like, going, like, am I...
They
do
did
I...
not say jack shit.
Okay.
I expected them to, like, have a conversation.
Yeah, I kept waiting, like, do one of them cough and I didn't hear it? Because, like, they go over the cast with them. They did promo for them. The episode's really paint by numbers, especially for a vampire story. Like, we can joke about it being like
it's
the...
they don't even say anything.
Yeah. There's nothing of substance in this episode, minus the introduction of Rose. It's just... If it had some stuff with Reyna, I feel like I would have liked it. It's just weird from beginning to end, this one.
But it was, like, puddle deep.
Yeah. So, cast stuff.
Mm.
Let's go over the two... even though they're not technically in the episode. Hibiki Yamamura's Meto. She's new to Digimon. She's Cure Twinkle. Hazuki and Idolmaster. Lisa and Peter Grill. Lord Royal and Uma Musume. And Nanami and Yaboy Kongmin.
Of course.
Yes. Yu Shimomura's canon. She's no stranger to Digimon. She's been two very relevant roles, one of which we keep mocking. So she was Offmon and Apple Monsters. And she was Jellymon in Ghost Game.
It would have been appropriate for her to talk in this Ghost Game episode.
Yeah. She's been Annie in Attack on Titan, Cure Flora in Pretty Cure, Hare in Guilty Crown, Ida in Gundam Rekengeist in G, and you're ready for some dubbed over roles. Actually, one dubbed over role and one game role. Are you ready? She's Negasonic Teenage Warhead in the Deadpool movies. And she's the Japanese voice of Zelda in Skyward Sword and all the Breath of the Wild related games.
Ooh.
Hiroyuki,
I've heard her a lot then. Aside
Hiroyuki
from
Yoshino's Vamdemon. He was Kosabura in Saver's Another Mission. And he's Firon Bakano, Jari in Buddy Complex. Shun in Go-Go Loser Ranger. He's Briefs in Panty and Stocking. Lots of roles.
Oh, that's a...
Yeah. And he's...
Actually, I take it back. That's fabulous.
Yeah. And Shino Shimoji's Lilamon. She was Rin in Ghost Game and Florimon in Digimon Survive, which is a nice little casting touch, I think. she's Akari in Aikatsu. She's Pyra and Mithra in Xenoblade Chronicles 2. Yeah. The only issue I have is that the two were not in this episode. Like, I'm really weirded out by that because, like, they're in the credits and everything. Do you think they intended...
Yeah, did not say jack shit.
Do you think they intended to have them say something at the very end when, you know, like, to their backs and they decided...
That's what I had assumed. Like, just agreeing with Rose or saying, like, three words like, yes, mistress, or, oh, we will do as you say.
And next time is episode 30.
You want some tea?
Wings to Protect You, which they claim is a Makoto development episode. With Makoto's brother. We will see. They've promised us development before, although it feels like they kind of have to if there's a brother there. But we will see.
Yeah, or they'll just develop the brother.
Or Batman will evolve.
I can only hope.
So then moving on from that, we got the full version of ED3 Mirror Mirror by Yena. I actually like the full version. I'm not sure if I liked it as much as the TV version, though. They also streaming it on multiple services, doing a campaign for people who buy the song. And did you see the nice little collaboration image, which they said was volume one, which was her in like a Gekkoman-type outfit with Art of Gekkoman.
Gekkoman outfit. Like, did she steal that from Megumihan?
Possibly. Then, as we said, they did proper introductions for Brilliant Thor and full profiles, actors, and everything. I honestly thought they were going to have a decent role in the episode. Like, I'm still very confused about, like...
Or at least an introduction.
Yeah. Then we get art from episode 28, including of that scene of Monarchmon rushing into the underground parking complex, which is neat. We also got from the...
I watched that one twice. That was really fucking cool.
Did you see from the Toei Animation Production Department them showing how animators draw lines in Kojima from Beat Break, showing the way he does lines? It's very interesting to see the way he does that stuff. And then him going, it's fine to use whatever method you want that works for you, which I like. And did you see the spinny evolution clip that they did for promo for Yena, where she's dressed as Mimi?
Oh, no, I did not actually see that one.
Yeah, that one's good. It's her in that Gekkoman outfit, but also like a Mimi cowgirl outfit. And then also... a promo image of Yena from they made a YouTube playlist called Seoul to Tokyo, which she's the cover artist of. And then...
I did see that piece.
Dev, it's been a while since we've talked about Digimon Adventure Beyond.
No.
So Kakudo had talked about how some written background material from this would be released, and then we heard nothing for a year. And now he started to put it up. And it's worth pointing out, he pointed out that part of the delay was based on that last year he almost died. He wasn't feeling very well. He ended up going to the hospital. And basically they had to do... He was on the operating table basically within an hour of checking in. That's also why we've seen him on storyboards for Beat Break rather than as an episode director. He's been trying to take it easier. Digimon Adventure Beyond was a short film.
Like, motherfucker almost died.
Yeah, Digimon Adventure Beyond was a short.
You get like two stints.
Was a short film of a few minutes long. It was basically a mock sequel to Adventure. It only showed a few shots, basically for fun. But those were taken from him doing some pseudo writing of what he would do for an Adventure sequel. Just that stuff didn't make it into the short because it was a short. And now, because he had his, oh, I almost died. I want to make sure this gets out before, I do die. And he also points out that Toei declined to be involved with publishing it because whatever their reasons. They did not say, I think we can infer from reading it. So I went through and did overviews of as much as possible. We aren't going to talk about it in super detail because it's not done, and it feels like it needs to be done before we talk in detail. But in my view, it's kind of a fucking mess, honestly.
It's very all over the place, and it's almost more like someone just throwing down like bullet points of scenes. It's not really a collective.
I think the primary issue is it fits with Kakadu has always been quite clear that at least as far as adventure goes, he's not concerned with anything he didn't direct. Like at times he's been kind of upset about our working. So you would think that if he were to do a sequel the way he wants, he would just ignore them, which happens in media all the time. But as we saw with Beyond, he definitely did not ignore them. The problem here is like, and he even points out that, like, he wrote this for people who aren't satisfied by the current sequels to Adventure. The problem is if you're not satisfied by those sequels, you're probably not satisfied by them for various reasons, down to and including they may take continuity a bit too seriously, whether you like the continuity or not. They probably age things up a bit too much. And they, based on what you're paying attention to, you might think they're convoluted. I don't think they are, but I've seen people say they are. And I don't, and I understand their reasoning. The problem here is this is very fucking convoluted. And if you want to understand it, you actually have to have seen and paid attention to all the sequels. Like, if you don't like O2 the beginning, you don't like Louis being there, you don't like evolving, this has a lot of Louis. Like, for part one, Louis is nearly a main character. The other issue is while he clearly is kind of upset about continuity to a degree, he's clearly, one, he does not seem to completely know the continuity of Tri, Keys in the beginning. He makes little mistakes, but he also makes little mistakes for his own work, which it plays with memory and metaphysics so much, it's hard to tell what's on purpose and what isn't. But it's not...
I guess that works out for him in the end.
Yeah. I feel like this worked better when you cut out every story bit and it becomes just like a 3-minute video montage of stuff from all of Adventure. Because it's not a great story, honestly. But we will see if it swings back around to the end. So far, he's not put up two parts, each of which is about 50 pages of script. There's some interesting and some fun stuff here. A lot of it is, I don't think, particularly good, to be honest. And part of that is because Kakadu's a very good idea man.
He's a beta reader.
He's not a scripter. He never has been. Even like the adventure novels, which everyone credits to him, that was co-written with Hiro Masaki, who is in fact an anime scriptwriter and who worked on all of the original 4 years of the anime. So he did those with an actual writer. So this kind of it's
rough.
It's interesting. It's just a hard read, and I don't think it's pretty good. And I can kind of see why, even if someone at Toei had read all of this. I'm not sure this is coherent enough to publish on an official site, even as unofficial writing.
I mean, they could try and do it at a drama at a live event.
No, you know what this really feels like? And you kind of allude to it. It's more brainstorming ideas without ever, like, doing the actual story elements. Like, there is no antagonist through 100 pages. Every dark thing from Adventure shows up. The gears, the towers, Miasma from the Dark Ocean. Like, I'm sure if you don't like Tri, the beginning of Kizuna, you're probably happy that it puts them in a weird zone of memory and worlds. I'm sure people are unhappy that does the same with
fluctuating
Wallace.
Fluctuating time. Yeah, it's kind of...
But it doesn't...
I mean, it has some neat details that are interesting. But
It does it with Wallace. It technically does it with Ryo, who does show up in 02. It almost reads as like a list of grievances. Almost.
I mean, it might as well be.
I'm still hoping that...
I guess it'll depend on like how the or further parts
turn
out.
It feels like we're going to get 3 or 4 parts total. So we will see what pops up there, because so far it's not very impressive. It's... You know what it is?
Stuff happening.
Have you ever been to a convention where like a group of known TV writers are doing a panel together And they go, as part of the panel, we're just going to spitball our idea for season 8 of a show that never had a season 8. And you end up getting, like, ideas on a chalkboard that are kind of just thrown out because they can, and they know they'll never make it.
Yeah.
And you think of the idea...
it's like a brainstorming session.
Yeah, but you think of the ideas and you go, you wouldn't make this even if you could. Because that isn't, like, the type of stuff... Yeah. So, we'll see. I'm hoping it has an upswing, but so far it's just kind of not good. And then we get Terrormon.
It exists.
3 episodes of Terrormon.
Yay!
Terrormon Assistant. He plays Karuta and looks at upcoming Digimon LCD toys. And then the funniest fucking thing they could do, they do a Digimon version of Akinator.
I wasn't even reading the text initially when I was looking over the article, and I just saw the fucking image. And it's like, are they doing Akinator? And it's like, lo and behold.
Yep. Playing Akinator, they... this is funny. And then we also get... they play like a trivia game for moments that get you excited as a Digimon fan, and also preview a number of things for Digimon Up. Probably most exciting is showing Sprite for a Digimon assistant.
Yeah.
You know what the weird thing is?
Horrible.
So here's the thing. They showed off the normal Terrymon Sprite at the same time. Am I wrong? Or does he have a tiny fucking neck with that tie on? Like, if you compare both Terrymons?
Yes, he does.
Okay, good. I'm not crazy.
He looks like a bobblehead.
And then we got a bunch of Digimon Up news. So they previewed Gabumon. Then it went up on the app stores for pre-registration. And we get the first screenshots, which sprite work is neat. Interface stuff is kind of basic and almost cheap looking, to be honest. We'll see how it plays, though. And then the pre-registration Gekkomon, which they talked about in the initial trailer. They started that campaign. They updated the trailer a little bit. They showed off the Metal Greymon sprite, which that is a nice sprite.
I enjoyed as well. I like how kind of like chonky he looks.
They showed off Metal Gurumon, which another good one. I have to say, I think the VIP Poppy sprite so far, War Greymon. That sprite looks good. Then the Tentomon's another one that looked good, to be honest.
I really like the detail on him.
Yeah.
I want to hug him.
And the pre-registration campaign has already unlocked the first 2 tiers. And we got to see a Vmon sprite. Always good to see a Vmon sprite.
He's having a good time.
And then to celebrate Digimon Up pre-registration, they're doing in Japan the Digimon YouTube Film Festival, showing various movies via streaming for a week each. Our War Game, Adventure the Movie, Diablomon Strikes Back, The Adventures Battle, Last Evolution Kizuna. A lot of people wonder why they did the one Tamers movie instead of movie 3. I assume because it's Tamers' 25th anniversary and they want to include it.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that's my expectation. So, neat little bit of fun there for those in Japan. And then, Agumon and Gekkomon participated in the 74th Yokohama Parade because they have various costume characters parading during it. This weekend,
has anyone actually gotten any photos of the parade itself yet?
I have a few. I just have not posted them. They'll probably go in the weekend batch. Ironically, the first photo I saw, I believe, was from Megumi Han, who, like, was not part of the parade. She was standing at the side taking pictures of the Digimon.
I mean, that's what she's been doing since she was, like, what, 10?
Yeah, which is funny, because the amount of, like, photos of events that we have from no one but her is actually rather high. And then Cardopalooza. So we got a special parallel card for Habakurimon / Habakuri. We need profile art of him, because every bit of art we've seen draws him completely differently. We need profile art.
Yeah, it's completely inconsistent, but also, it's always really fucking cool.
Well, here's the thing. It's always inconsistent to a degree, but we normally have the profile art to see how it's the unique artist. Because we don't have that, it feels odder to everyone, it feels like.
But I love the ink brush look on this one. Especially the special finish. Oh my god.
The finishes this time, am I wrong, or do they all seem extra good?
They went above and beyond. They understood the assignment.
Special parallel card for Asuna.
They want to eat the cardboard.
Which, her and Bellstarmon.
Excellent texture.
All of them. Then we get one for Bellstarmon / Flybullet. This one's actually really fucking cool. This is one where you, like, it's easy to go, oh yeah, she was kind of inspired by Bayonetta, wasn't she? Then one for Dr. Simmons, which this feels like a normal pose she has in the game, which works well. This is one where I really think the hollow foil like changes the card entirely.
Yeah, the hollow foil carries the card itself.
Yeah. Then we get gold foil special parallel cards for Shine Greymon Burst Mode / Final Shining Burst and Grace Novamon. The Grace Novamon parallel one is really good.
It's like, I didn't even realize there were that many details on, like, the neck and face and everything, just because it's usually so zoomed out.
Yeah. Looks really good here. We also get another nice trailer, which these continue to be really good examples. Box toppers are 6 cards from the set with no borders. That Bearmon looks so unhappy.
It me.
Then we get promo cards for the Evolution Cup 2026, which basically they're all Alphamon, Kurumi Detective Agency, and Wanyamon, which everyone loves Pete. And then 4 new sleeves. Dan and Kanan, Inori and Agumon, Savers / Data Squad, and Beat Break. I actually think the best one here is probably Savers, honestly.
I was going to say, like, I just really enjoy the Savers ones, especially, like, how they're kind of, like, blocked out, almost like comic book panels.
Yeah, it works very well. Then 2 episodes of Card Battle where they go over matches with dual cards to show off how they work. And then the thing I think you're looking forward to the most of was all the new products they put up. So,
my money!
3 waves of products. 25th Anniversary Digimon Tamers featuring new art by Kenji Watanabe, which we got previews of this at Digimon Con. Digimon Beat Break and Digimon Con shirts. So the Tamers Anniversary art, bunch of products, all very good. I think
I really want all of these.
I think the wall scrolls are probably the best things for these.
I forget. Did they happen to say what size those are?
49 centimeters by 75 centimeters.
Okay, on the smaller side. So that's not bad.
Then Beat Break, we get art with new art shirts. I will say, I really like the acrylic stands, how they all like can connect and separate.
Also, their scale with each other, which I really enjoy.
Yeah, it's always nice when we get the scale. Although, I feel like we could get a better pose for Reyna. Why is Reyna, like, they've posed Reyna so she's the shortest. The Glowing Dawn flag is neat.
She's letting Makoto be tall.
Everyone seems to love the Kyo apron.
Look, I have friends that are making the Kyo apron now.
Are they making the 3D? Are they making the 3D logo?
Yes.
Then shirts for Digimon Con featuring the logo with the Digimon and also Terran. Is that supposed to be like a name tag or something? I'm not sure what he's leaning on.
I don't know either. Maybe it's like a podium or something, or
I guess that makes sense. It just feels a bit off. And then I think we saw this coming for the big Death Star polls. The winner was Apollomon Whisper. Although I will say the top 4 are all really fucking close. And it's not really shocking. Apollomon Whispered, Olegmon, Neo Vamdemon, which you called, and was Dorbikmon the first of the generals they fought?
The first or the second?
Yeah. So those 4 are all dueling above 20, between 20 and 23%. Gravimon, Splashmon jump down to 7 and 5, and Zamilmon's under 4, which I think we also called. I think we were both like, yeah, Zamilmon's not gonna have a good showing, and he did not. Although,
yeah, I predicted Zamilmon eating absolute shit because his design sucks, he was annoying in the show, and he was really fucking annoying, and I hate his guts. Like, get out of my face.
And then off to the potpourri. Ayumi Miyazaki announced he will take part in Anisong Crossfest on August 16th. Got a nice little promo image
for
that.
Please take a break. We appreciate the performances, but he's just been going nonstop.
I will say, while he's been going nonstop, it does feel like he's not rushing around quite as much. Like, there was a good year or two where it felt like he was never slowing down. It was actually, like, worrying. It does feel like he's calmed down from that. Then Hot Ones had BTS on it, and while they brought up, while the host, Sean Evans, brought up what makes a great anime theme song and what are the best, a couple of them brought up Butterfly and started to sing it. So nice little touch on the forum thread. We've queued that up for anyone who wants to watch it. Then we get May Social Art, which talks about basically all the stuff for the Golden Week holiday, showing glowing dawn partaking. Everyone's very worried about Chiratmon being a flag here.
Yes, he doesn't look like he's having that great of a time.
It's the puffy eye they gave him. It looks like he's about to cry.
Yes, he looks slightly terrified. Yes.
Then we get a couple pieces of Harumi art because they said April 30th was his birthday. So we got art on the official account of him, Harumi, him, Commandermon, and Elizamon, plus Takeru Kojima, who's the character designer for B-Break. Has he done multiple pieces of art of characters just like smiling like this? Or am I imagining
yes,
that?
Yes, they're basically just like idol shots.
Yeah, it's been funny. It's almost like they're like photo headshots.
Yeah.
So it's been a neat little touch. Then a few images for Beat Break 29. Kojima drew here's the thing. He normally does very basic pieces of art each week. The art of Miharu is actually pretty striking, I think.
I really like the background.
Yeah. Akamini Aki did very... I actually really like the shot of Reina. It actually, like, works really well, I think.
She has more of her personality than the episode did.
Yeah, I was thinking it too. I was gonna not say it. CH drew a close-up shot of Vamdemon because they worked as a key animator.
It was really, really cool looking.
And then two more bits. Director Kakudo pointed out he did storyboards for the episode. And Ryoko Shirishi, who played Rose, posted a photo of her with Shino Shimoji, who played Lilamon, thanking everyone for watching.
I now need someone to draw Lilamon wearing a shirt that says, alas, earwax.
I missed that text entirely. Holy shit. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I like pull up the photo and I'm looking, and I'm like, what, is something wrong with your ear? And then my eye goes down to the bottom right. I'm like, why does it say alas earwax? And I'm like, is that, and like, I have no idea.
Yeah, that's certainly.
Yeah,
I
missed that text entirely. I was very confused when you said that. okay, chat, you guys can ask questions. We start with the ones that were sent ahead of time. Someone said, what non-Digimon games are worth a Digimon fan playing while they're waiting for the Time Stranger DLC new phone games? I'm going to give my cheat answer, because I've answered this before, and people often think I'm joking when I say the best Digimon game is Ni no Kuni. Because it's
I have not played it, but I believe you.
You are a kid in the real world. You get pulled to a fantastical world alongside a creature, and then you get your own creature, and then multiple of them that evolve to higher forms. It also has character designs from Ghibli. And
I really want to play this game now.
The game is often very cheap. It's a very basic JRPG, but it's pretty fun. And it's very much what you would expect Digimon to be. I really think it's worthwhile for Digimon fans. I still need to play the sequel. They made it more action-y, so I wasn't sure what to think of it. So I still need to play that. Dev, do you have any ideas for games for them to play?
Not really, only because I have not played similar games in so long that there's nothing I can really specifically recommend that's not borderline ancient at this point.
That makes sense.
I mean, there's Jade Cocoon, but...
Yeah, that makes sense.
Again, PlayStation 1.
Then someone asked a double question. So first, which candy bars do we rank high?
It's a seasonal thing.
Yeah.
But
I will say, as I get
the Terry's orange chocolate bars.
You know,
the whole bar is shaped like little slices.
I've never been big on those.
Oh my god, it's so good.
As I get older, you know what I like more and more? The Lindt truffles.
Ooh, I like those too. Those are nice.
Although I've always liked Three Musketeers, where you get chocolate and a bunch of chocolate nougat.
Caramellos are also pretty nice, and I have to be in the mood for them, but it was my great-grandmother's favorite, but Butterfingers.
You know, I always liked Butterfingers. I remember eating them.
The taste is great. They keep stuck in my teeth. Like,
yeah, it's like for half an hour, you're like trying to suck your tooth, trying to get it out.
Yep, and then you just give up and then just go and grab like a toothpick or something.
Yeah. Then the secondary question was thin crust or thick crust pizza. I prefer thin.
For the most part, I also prefer thin, but it really depends on the mood. Because sometimes I'll like yay, fluffy crust pizza. This is neat. But also, essentially, boardwalk pizza, which is almost always thin crust, and that just has like a specifically unique taste. And I'm like, oh my God, I need the thing.
No, it makes sense.
I will travel to another state for this.
Okay, and from chat dev, what is your favorite cat breed?
I am biased. It is a little tuxedo. Give me little black or black and white cats. That is all I've ever had. They are absolute gremlins.
My primary knowledge of cats is Garfield.
Yeah, it's like, fuck you, feed me.
Then someone
Punch
asked,
the dog in the face.
which Digimon TV show do you think is most rewatchable?
I want to say Cross Wars just because there's so many little details from throughout the franchise just kind of like
So,
littered in there. So you can definitely go through and like pick out the little details and everything.
I was going to say rewatchable for rewatchable's sake, it's probably Cross Wars or O2, I think, for me.
But also the music in Cross Wars is so fucking good.
It really is. That's one thing that Beat Break really is missing. It's just like song after song. Like how many
Yeah,
like
I remember when essentially Digimon was its own music category.
you remember how shortly after Frontier ended, we got that box set that was like, this is the 100th Digimon music release.
Yes.
And now it's like
Yes, I do.
now it's like here is one song in Beat Break, and it comes with a second song that is an instrumental and is not a vocal song.
Yeah, it's like, okay, here's an opening and ending and
Yeah.
an insert, and here's also another ending. That's it.
2020 had some good songs, though.
Where are my image songs?
Yeah, we need image songs again. Then someone asked, at this point, do you go to the movie theater much anymore? And if not, what would get you to go?
Once or twice a year, maybe, just because one, my work schedule is insane. Two, it's expensive. And three, there's usually not much in the theater that I really want to see.
I fall into that zone
But
for
it
a lot
usually
of
has
stuff.
to be something I'm obsessed with.
Yeah, and you also have to remember, I have a good setup here for watching movies and like very comfortable to me.
Yeah.
As for what would get me to go, just have to be something that I have to see day one or don't know when it will hit home video. Like, oh, to the beginning, we both rushed to theaters to see that.
Oh, yes. But also something that would look good on a really big screen or some sort of really fun interaction with it, like when they used to have the 4DX like premiere screenings. Those were
I didn't
so
go to any of
good.
those, but I know people liked them.
I've been to like three of them shamelessly.
Then Ramon asks, would you want a Digimon game, like a rhythm game with Digimon songs? I think there's some fun stuff you could do with that if
Absolutely,
you get.
yes.
Like, do you remember when they did Dance Dance Revolution Mario?
Yes, that was really cute.
Like, there's some fun Digimon stuff you could do with a Digimon rhythm game, with the visuals, the songs. I don't know how much I'd play because this is not my genre, especially at this point. But yeah, it would be fun, and I would get that regardless.
I love rhythm games, and occasionally, if you go to the arcade, you'll find like one or two that have like butterfly or something on them, but that's about it.
Last chance in
But
chat
also,
to
carpal tunnel.
last chance in chat to ask questions. Someone asked, "What do you want to see from the summer replacement for Digimon Expo they announced this year?" I don't like. I'm kind of more open to just seeing where events like that go. Like, I think Digimon Expo was maybe a bit overly large for what it was, but I wouldn't mind if it was something like that.
I'm fine with just about anything as long as, it's entertaining.
Yeah, that's the key. Okay, I think that is it for questions, Dev. Dev, what Wikimon article would you like people to read?
Sirenmon, since we were on the topic of music and rhythm games.
That's a good one. We will see you guys probably next Monday. I assume by then Digimon Adventure 13 Plus will be over. I can't imagine it has seven chapters because those are massive. But we will catch you guys all next
Who
time.
knows?
And next episode's episode 300, Dev.
Oh, damn.
That is a lot. So we will catch you guys next time for
Yes.
episode
Yes, it
300.
is.
Thank you everyone for listening. Bye.
Bye.